Hello, welcome to another episode of These Little Moments Podcast. I'm your host, your online health and wellness coach, Ryan Kasseman. In this podcast episode, I have the pleasure of interviewing Jordan Lipps. Jordan is a coach himself, and he really specializes in how to optimize health for your life and meeting you where you're at. And I know you're going to really enjoy this episode because we dive into navigating the all or nothing mindset. We navigate, you know, what's optimal for building muscle, maintaining muscle, and how to simplify the process of weight loss, as well as there's a lot of giggles in here. So just be prepared. There's many giggles, and I hope you enjoy it, and I'll see you in there.
My man.
Mr. Lipps.
What's up, dude? I fucked that up so bad this morning. Thank you.
You're a real son of a bitch, you know? How are you, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. This is a real treat for me.
Oh, come on. don't gas me up before we hit record. Oh, we already recorded.
Yeah, I'm already recording. I'm gassing. I'm gassing from the start.
Real-time gas. All right. I'll take it.
Okay. Yeah, just get yourself ready because I got more gas now.
Cool, keep it coming.
How's your day going, dude?
It's going well. I'm glad we missed this hurdle. I would have been disappointed, and so I'm glad we worked it out.
I don't need the gas. Don't gas me. I'm glad too, man. It's a treat. And like I said, like for the people know, I did slide in your DMs. And whisper sweet nothings to get you on the podcast, but like I said, it's a treat because I've been non creepily watching you from afar and very much enjoying how you educate people and your content and yeah, man. And we have a lot of mutual friends. So I was like, you know what? If they're friends with Mr. Lipps, then I got to be friends with Mr. Lipps too, and hear him out and hear what he got to say.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's funny that you're like, hey, I really like your content. It's so funny. Like, I'm on the back end of like 48 hours of getting like shredded on a couple of my posts by like people having just straight up like conniptions about like tiny little technicalities. And like, it's just a total microcosm of social media right now. Like, I've had like a little burst of growth on my account. And yeah, in the same exact span of time, I've had like a lot more trolls like coming out, and I was like, you know, yeah, what, that's the cost of doing business. Like, that's just kind of like how this goes.
It is the cost, but it's a real stinker though when you get to that point. You're like, this is, I feel like up to that point you're like, I'm just trying to help you and we're having a good time here, and then like some people sneak in, you're like, what, how'd you get through here? It's like, what is, you don't know me.
Yeah, it's been an interesting couple days. Yeah.
But hey, man, you got those are, don't let the trolls get to you because they ruined my day before too. So.
Sure, all good.
It happens. I want to talk sports with you before we dive into. Are you, who's your football team?
American football or football?
American football.
I grew up a Jets fan, and so I'm from Jersey. You know,
yeah.
It was Jets or Giants, and I chose the road of despair. Oh, look at you go, man. You sound like you're from New York, man. You had like a Staten Island, like joy-y accent or something going on here.
I could put it up. I'm from Connecticut,
yeah.
So.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm a Jets fan, and you know, it's tough. Like, it's not my first sport. I never played. You know, I definitely follow. But it did come. I know that I'm, you know, if you're like a diehard, then listen, man, I'm a diehard soccer fan, so I understand the mentality of like, yo, you support your team even through the hard times, man. You watch the games, you go to the games, just follow the team. But like with the Jets, I'm like, I'm not as into it. And so because they're also just been like perennial like dog shit, it's been like I've taken a small step back from like putting my emotional eggs in that basket.
That's smart. That's very smart. Who's your Premier League team then?
I'm a big Arsenal fan.
Are you? Yeah. Wow. I mean, I'm not the biggest. I got more into Premier when I lived in New York for a bit, and I became friends with so many like English friends, and they were all like Man U or Man City friends, and then the one there was one kid in their group who's an Arsenal, and they always shit on him
Sounds about right. Yeah, I know
the
that. I know that. How that goes.
most. Did you grow up playing sports at all or anything?
Yeah, I played soccer and lacrosse up until and slightly for a hot minute in college. And I wish I got into lacrosse earlier on. I just my where I grew up, we didn't have any like youth programs. I absolutely loved lacrosse in high school, and I didn't touch a stick. That's awkward. That's not how you start a sentence, but I didn't pick things up
Go ahead,
until like freshman year. But yeah, touching sticks.
Everybody
Title
touches
of the
sticks in
podcast.
college, man. That's what college is for.
Sport, you experiment, you know, like, oh shit.
It's the time to grow.
Yeah.
Love that, man. What about because I mean, do they translate? I guess they kind of do, like similar positions, right? They have like a midfielder perhaps.
I played some basketball too,
Long
I think. And I
field.
played basketball in high school, and basketball and lacrosse have a ton. I mean, they're like, if there was a sport, you know, lacrosse is a combination of basketball and hockey. Yeah, so I really like that. That was a good time.
Is sports what got you into sort of strength training and all
I wish
that?
chicks, you know, just like I was doing way more bicep curls than like hex bar deadlifts, let's say that, you know.
That's the most honest answer. I think that's what was my inspiration of picking up a dumbbell in seventh grade was everybody's talking about it in seventh grade. They're like, oh yeah, I'm starting doing bicep curls and the girls love it. And you're like, okay, let me try to get into this shit. That's hilarious. So then
It.
when it comes to being a Jersey kid, are you still in Jersey or did you leave the old Jersey Shore?
Yeah, so I left when I got out of college. We'll do the abridged version. I got out of college, and the plan was to go to law school, but I was like scared shitless of doing that. So I was like, I'll take a year off. Take a year
Wow,
off.
law school.
And so I took the LSATs and was like all pumped to like go to law school. But then I started personal training that year, and probably within like the first 3 days of doing that, I was like, oh shit, you know, like I had made it was like really busy, and I was in an environment that was like very entrepreneurial. Like I had a mentor at the time who was like very a go-getter, and just pumped that into me of like, you could do this, you could do this, you could be great, you could make a living, you could run a business, you could. And so I got caught up in that in a very good way, and didn't really look back. And then, you know, I ended up starting my own gym with a friend, and it was a very, I don't want to be rude about it, but this is like, sometimes things happen where you just need to change. And at some point I did not want to be a gym owner anymore. And not only did not want to be a gym owner, I needed to leave the area, just like my own like a little bit of mental health. Like I had spent the last like 7 years like really engrossed in that environment. Like everybody, like I like would know people in every restaurant. I would know people in every like place I'd go into just from personal training. That's like kind of how that goes. There's a lot of like boots
100%.
on the ground. You're like a lot of word of mouth. And so when I stopped doing that and moved online, Jenna and I looked at Jenna. I was like, I think I need to get up out of here a little bit. If I'm gonna stop being a personal trainer in this area, I kind of wanted to get out of that area. So we moved to Texas, lived there for 2 years. Then now I'm in Raleigh, in North Carolina, and I
Whoa.
freaking love North Carolina.
Yeah?
Absolutely love North Carolina.
What
So
about
we
it?
planting some seeds. It's a little bit less metropolitan. It's like a little bit less hustle and bustle. Life's a little slower, a little bit more outdoorsy, you know, a little bit more. I mean, I upstate New York, you know, you got like your Bear Mountains and your like Lake Placids, and there's some good stuff in New York too. But man, life's a little slower in the South, you know, like people are nicer, a little bit less hustle and bustle, a little bit more space, your money goes a little further. And so it's been nice.
Oh, 1000%, dude. That was kind of me too. I grew up in a small town in Connecticut, and then went eventually, like after training all that, moved to New York City because Jordan Tsai was like, move to New York City. He's like, your business will do better, blah, blah. I was like, all right, I'll move. COVID happens. I find out I'm not really a city guy. You know what
Yeah.
I'm saying? So then
Like,
I
I'm not
ended
really
up.
a $3,500 rent for a studio kind of guy.
Exactly.
Like,
But fool me once or fool me twice. I just moved
yeah.
to San Diego about a year ago, and turns out that's one of the most expensive places you can live to.
San Diego's awesome though. Hold on, San
It is
Diego's
cool.
great. The quality of life mega high. Yeah. But yeah, expensive as shit.
I like you're like, hey, hold on.
Like, you throw San Diego some love here.
It is, yeah, it is very cool. It is very cool for sure. All right, so you got into strength training for the ladies, which, like I said, I can respect that. What? Because you said you were taking LSATs. Why did you were like, let me do personal training while I'm preparing to be a lawyer?
Yeah, it's not complicated. It's real simple here. I am a bum. And I'm like, you know what I've been thinking about? People say this shit of like, how you do one thing is how you do everything. That's dog shit. Like, that's just not a real thing. Like I am a procrastinator. I'm an underachiever. You know, wow. I would have rather gotten like a C plus and not studied at all than worked really hard for an A minus. And so my whole life, I was an underachiever, a procrastinator, someone who like people were like, you know, you could, if you really applied yourself, you know, that was the line about me. And guess when I really applied myself is when I started doing this stuff. And I was like, I've never actually tried hard and cared about the outcome so much as like when I was personal training and I was like, you know, whatever, making people's workouts and like, you know, writing diet programs and all the bullshit we did in our, like, you know, in those like 2010s. Era of nutrition and stuff. And I was like, wow, this is a whole new side of me. I was like, oh, I'm all of a sudden like Mr. like Tim Ferriss, and I'm reading all this productivity shit and self-development. And I was like, I've never felt this way before. I've never felt like I had something I cared about so much that I wanted to do really good at it.
Yeah.
And so that was really it for me. I was like, I caught that like entrepreneurial wind, and that was it.
Wow. I was good. I can relate to that a ton, because people, if you ask anybody about me, one of the qualities is procrastinator. It's like, but one of my greatest qualities.
So do your clients, though, would your clients call you a hard worker?
Oh, yeah. 1,000%.
Yeah. They would call me a hard worker, too, but I wouldn't call me a hard worker. I would, I'm not. That's not what you, if you've known me for 30 years, that's not how you describe me. But with my job, I guess, you know, because I like it and because you like it.
Right. Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. And I used to get called Ryan time, which was my friends would give me a time that was, in fact, way earlier than I had to be there. And I would get there on time when they actually wanted me to. So I get it. In terms of all this, because I'm sure I've listened to some of your podcasts. I listened to your podcast you did with Jordan, actually, which I really love, because there was a fatherly bond going on, because I think, did you have your child yet? Is it on the way soon?
We're right on that tail end there. Yeah.
Wow. How are you feeling about that?
I'm feeling good. I was just texting Jordan the other day. I was cracking up. I said, you know, like, so he calls his daughter Old Abe.
Yeah.
And I made a joke. If he listens to this, he's that funny. Like, I can imagine him. So he said that. And I was like, obviously he's having another baby.
Yeah.
And I said, I made like a stupid joke of like, oh, are you going to call her like Old Washington or like Old like Old Bush or something like that? And he messaged me back like hours later, and he's like, dude, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I was like, sorry, man. Like, I'm wondering if you're like sweating trying to figure out what I'm saying. And I'm like, yo, I'm just trying to make it. I was like, this is the joke.
It's like, never goes jokes, well like, when you have to explain like, the joke.
Yeah, I was like, it's not funny, man. I was like, I'll text you in a month. I was like, you're free for a month. Like, well, so I'll true. Shut up for about a month. But yeah, I'm oh, I was like, I haven't texted him since. I was like, nah, my bad. You know,
but you know what? That's such a great, you've been, from an enthusiast of funny, that's a great joke you made. It's, well, just,
I
don't, tough.
Nobody knows what the old, what Old Abe is. So like, here, like, you're leaving me to figure it out. And that's what I came up with, you know, like
Abraham, of course. Abraham.
Yeah, of course. Abraham. And it's not just any Abraham. It's you know, the late, great Abe Lincoln, like, you know.
Yeah. That's so true. Yeah. And I hope Jordan does listen to this, because he's the worst texter in the world. So like, anybody who knows Jordan like that, you send him a text and he will answer you a month later. So the fact that you, when he actually answered your text and you had to re-explain the joke, it's just like, it's, and then he'll probably respond to that months later. Oh,
let it just soak in a little bit. Let it marinate.
That's right. Like, a bunch of soak is here. All right, let's get into some fitness shit. Okay. Thank you for that. That gave me a good chuckle. All right, Old Abe, let's do this. I need you to, because you're very, You do a very good job of explaining fitness nutrition in a very easy, simple way. You do a great job choosing your GIFs or GIFs, whichever one you want to go with. My first question is, how do you go about choosing your GIFs and your GIFs for your content?
Yeah, if I'm going memes, it's just to make myself laugh. And so sure. I'm picking inside jokes with myself, and if they hit, they hit. And if they just absolutely explode and no one gets it, but like I'll put yeah. like one of my favorite shows is I Think You Should Leave. And like it's a show on Netflix, but it's like a niche show that like if
oh,
you've
this is
seen
Tim
it,
Tim
Yeah, Tim Robinson.
Oh, dude.
So and so funny. If you've seen it, it has like a cult following. So if you've seen it, you think it's hysterical. And if you've not seen it, then like every out of context clip is not funny at all.
At all.
So I'll make like, I think you should leave GIFs. And I hit post and I'm cracking it up for like the whole day. And it gets like 30 likes. Like nobody gets it. And I'm like, ah, shit. This is bad social media work.
Yeah. You know what I like it though? Is because I watched it with my girlfriend and I'm cracking up. At, like the episodes, and she's like not laughing at all. I'm just like, it's a different funny, you know.
It's just it's like a different
some,
funny, man.
Some people get it, funny. Some people don't.
People so have not. I whenever I like, I'll like, so I follow like an I Think You Should Leave account, and like, everybody who like shits on it, it's always like from another country, and so it's like people who are not Americans, like, certainly will never laugh at that show for sure. Right. It's like way too dumb,
Just people who try to like overthink it, it's just like. Numb yourself a little bit.
Just take
to
a gummy,
the funny.
Sit there, and just crack up. Just like, let's be real here, you know?
Let the man take you through in his hot dog suit, okay? Wait, there's no need to.
I played in a soccer tournament. And our name was Stanzos, and Stanzos, they're nice. It's like the bowlers that he like tries to sell to his friend for the baby shower, and he's like, they're Stanzos, they're nice. Nobody wants your shitty mob movie stuff.
That's right.
1,000 plastic like meatballs, desperate. You know? Like, yeah. So, yeah. See, like, you people are listening to this, they're going to be like, what are these guys talking about? But it makes me
it's
laugh,
not,
so.
It's not for them, man. It's for me.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't care. We can go back and forth. We'll do stuff for them, stuff for us, stuff for them, stuff for us. For them, okay, for the people. Because you made a really great post the other day talking about sort of all or nothing mindsets and diving deep into that. Can you sort of explain, based on the years of experience you have now coaching people, your thoughts on the all or nothing mindset, and maybe we can dissect it to give people, you know, a little bit of help to get themselves out of it or maybe reframe it a little bit?
Sure. I mean, I just have one like bug up my ass about the all or nothing mindset. And the thing is that like, is that what's interesting about the all or nothing mindset when it comes to, let's say, like working out or like going for walks, like you could pick any like facet of health, is that like, if we look at any of those individual variables, let's just take working out, for example, like the vast majority of the benefits from training happen with like one or two workouts a week. And so like when people round down to nothing, they like round down to zero, it pisses me off because they like blow right by where they would get the vast majority of the benefits. And so like, if you're training 4 days a week and it's a shit storm and you just like have life gets crazy and you like can't make it to the gym, but like you could do one workout per week, but you don't, because you like people round down to nothing with training because they don't know how productive one time per week training can be. Mm-hmm. Like they don't realize what the data says about minimum effective dose for muscle maintenance or strength maintenance, or even making gains. Like the bar is so freaking low for muscle maintenance that when people do nothing because they can't do their full workout, it pisses me off. Because if they just knew, if you're like, hey, I only have 15 minutes, it's like, great. You could do one hard set of like three exercises. You could do that again like next week. And for all you know, that's enough to maintain all of the muscle that you have. Like that's enough to like at least check the box of maintenance for the entire week. But so the all or nothing mindset is like at least arming people with the information, education of how little they actually do to get a very high percentage in terms of ROI is just like, that's where I feel like I slide in.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure I'm going to come at it from more of a philosophical sort of like the identity. You don't want to be that kind of person. Hey dude, like don't do nothing. Do one workout, you know, one workout a week. I mean, there's, if people are interested in this, like Dr. Pack is like on a, is like, you know, more on the nerdy side of things, but he's on a, like a real crusade of beating this drum of like, dude, you could do like, I don't know, two workouts a week, 30 minutes. And some people would see gains. The vast majority of people would maintain. And I just feel like people blow right by that. They're like, I can't do my perfect 5-day a week program, so I'm going to do nothing. I'm like, dude, just do one full body day and you're like, you're good, you know?
Right. Absolutely. And I want you to come at it from whatever approach you're going to come from, you know, but I think that's what I appreciate about you the most is because, or at least people like you in the industry where you nerd out on this shit. And I very much respect the nerdiness because you nerd out it so much, you figure out a way to simplify it so that it's less complicated for the masses. Right. And I do agree. I think people tend to round down to zero rather than nothing. And you know, I talked to a buddy he's a clinical psychologist, and he said that the all or nothing mindset is kind of bullshit too, because he said that it's not nothing. It's just that you have certain behaviors that you haven't developed those habits yet for. Right. So it's just that there's the potential is still there. It's just that you're glossing over the things that you need to work on to get there. Right. But you assume it's just either I'm all in or I'm all out. But it's like those little micro behaviors that you just haven't worked on. You always skip to. Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. You don't know anything other than everything. Right. And so you don't have any other tools in the toolkit, which is kind of goes back to what we were saying of like, well, 1 or 2 days a week would be great. Yeah. I also like I kind of hate the like badge of honor like that is worn as an all or nothing person. Like you declaring to the world that you're an all or nothing person is your attempt to get out ahead of the inevitable quitting because things get hard that you know is going to happen. Like if you're like, I'm an all or nothing person, like what you're saying when you say that is I'm all in so long as it's not hard. And if things get hard, I'm going to quit. That's like, you're like setting the scene of like, well, I'm going to set myself up so that when I quit, I can come back to this and be like, well, I said that I was an all or nothing person. So that grinds my gears a bit.
That's so true. I mean, it's literally they're giving a preface to why I'm going to quit in 2 weeks. Right. It's because I'm telling you, like you said, once I start feeling friction, I'm out. Right. There's no resilience built. Right. That's probably most people's problem is they don't have that resiliency skill developed, right?
Yeah, it's almost like when they say it, it's like, and I don't want to beat this too much, but it's like, there's like, when I say I'm all or nothing, what I want from you is I want praise for the all and I want acceptance for the nothing, but like, I'm not praising you for the all part. Like I don't think, and I'm going to use a specific in terms of me being a coach, like I'm not asking for all. You know, I don't care about the all. I care about the like good enough, and the make the best of it, and the like. I'd rather you improve your baseline worst than make your best even better. I'm not worried about you like optimizing that like the exact perfect tempo for the RDL. Like, okay, we're gonna talk about that, but like I'm more interested in the fact your protein's at 40. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather you pick those like least common denominators up. Mm-hmm. I'd rather focus on the not being nothing than the success doing the all.
Oh, 1000%. And I think that's one of my questions I actually have is because I think people tend to over-exaggerate or overcomplicate, you know, whether it's strength training or weight loss or anything like that. I guess how do you go about simplifying the process of weight loss to somebody who like maybe for the person we just talked about who struggles with consistency and who is really just trying to get those baseline habits to maintain, right? How do we simplify that process?
Yeah, three things come to mind, I guess. The first is doing that at maintenance. And not necessarily trying to do that while dieting. I don't, that technically is a false dichotomy. Like in theory, you could do both, but in practice, it's like, trying to do a bunch of like really, or trying to incorporate and build and sustain some really good habits. It's tough how you're hungry and irritable. Yeah. So I'd rather do that without that confounding variable of I'm hungry, tired, food focused and all that stuff. So that would be one piece of advice. The second is widening the goalpost and just like, Even just from a like widening the goalpost / being it more flexible, those sorts of like rhetorics and sentiments, but even like actually widening up the goalpost in things like giving people wider calorie ranges, you know, like, you know, none of this, like, hit your fucking macros down to the within right. 3 grams. It's like, right. How about a 200 calorie? How about a 300 calorie range?
Right.
Like people, the assumption of how, like, people's idea of how accurate they think they are with their tracking. I'm not just talking about underestimating. I feel like people don't realize how much baked in variance there is with tracking, down from like restaurant meals to like food labels to tracking raw versus cooked to like, you know, just how cooked something is, how you cooked it, you know, like different brands of the same thing. Like, you think you're being so accurate that me giving you a 200 calorie range is too variable.
Right.
The whole has a ton of variation. Why don't we widen up the goalposts? You doing 1400 or 1515, like, it's not going to change anything over the long run, especially if you work on averages.
Right.
And then the third thing is blocking out the noise. I feel like a lot of people would do better with these two first things of like, I'm at maintenance, I'm going to widen the goalposts, work on some flexibility, except that it doesn't need to be perfect, but they do better at those things if they could also block out all the other stuff. Like, people would be better at understanding flexible dieting as a practice, as a mindset, if they weren't bombarded with like just a ton of bullshit from social media, from their friends, from other forms of media 24/7. You know what, blocking that out will make you better at working on doing things the right way.
I completely agree. I do think that's an issue too, right? I think some of the things we can see with clients is sort of like that bee's nest, right? Where people's heads are always buzzing because they have so much like over influx of information, right? And because you have this over influx of information, you're now paralyzed, right? Where you're not doing shit because you don't know what to do, right? So I think what you said is a great outline where, you know, if you've been trying to lose weight, right? And we probably preach this a lot, and you're starting running into the same sort of obstacles and things, like, maintenance is a great option for people, right? To work on habits, to, you know, more self-awareness, self-discovery, and also a great place for you to figure out what noise you want to listen to and follow and stick to consistently, right? So I think those are super, super duper great points. And then in terms of, because you also talk a ton about optimization now, I guess, when did you get into this optimization lifestyle for training specifically? And do you think this is, so I think it's interesting. We always see like these trends over time in the industry. And I feel like the more recent one has been like, oh, well, set up on a bench so there's more stability, so you get more muscle for your lats or something like that. When did you get into that more, and how do you foresee that? You think that's going to be continued trending in the industry? You think that's a good thing? And I guess, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's two main pieces of motivation behind my pursuits there, and then we talk about like what I think is going on. The first is I have a little bit of, admittedly, a little bit of a chip on my shoulder for not being an academic. And so, like, I didn't go to school for this. I don't have a PhD in nutrition. I just had Dr. Joey Munoz on my podcast, good friend, Dr. Adrian Chavez, both nutrition PhDs, like, mega smart. And like, egotistically, I've had to work through that where I'm like, I'm not them. Like, and I don't have my PhD in nutrition. And so being able to sit at that table was something I've had a chip on my shoulder about, like, since I got into the industry a little bit. I was never going to go back to school, get my PhD in nutrition or anything like that. Right. But I've always wanted to at least be able to hold my own in conversations with these people. In some ways that's beneficial, but in some ways you can get lost in like trying to sit at that table as an end. Right. That's not the end. It's not who gives a shit about that? Like, what's my main goal? My main goal is to not be able to like have mental masturbation conversations with people where we're just like trying to like jerk off to our own intellect. And so I've had to battle that a little bit. And so when this whole like biomechanics craze came out of like, you know, N1, Coach Cass, I will say, was at least in and around the birth of this. And I realized that I was, I couldn't understand what they were saying to the degree in which they were saying it. And I was like, oh shit. I was like, I want to understand this.
Yeah.
And so went super in deep, took all the courses, I've been to 2 practicals. I'm going to another practical in 2 weeks.
Wow.
However, my thoughts have evolved. And it turns out, if we go back to like my description of myself being like a complete procrastinating minimalist. Yeah. I have no interest in making any more gains in terms of getting any bigger in my own life.
Right.
I have all the interest in the world in maintaining what I have with the least amount of minutes spent training.
Mm.
And if you want to do as little as possible and get the most out of it, you need to know which knobs to turn. I need to get the most out of every minute I'm training. So that means I need to understand it all. And then I need to be able to like get rid of the fluff and leave the essential pieces. And so for me, it's my MO to like go mega nerdy into something,
mm-hmm.
but then come back and be like, yay, but it's not that big a deal, you know?
Right,
and
so, right.
I'm in my cardio bunny era right now. And so I'm like very much into like endurance exercise right now.
Yeah.
Hybrid training, fucking did a half marathon, whatever. But like I have already seen myself kind of like, it's almost like, you know what's funny? It's like those dog races where like, they like run and then they bounce off that thing and they come back. Like I've already seen myself hit that thing and I'm like on my way back from like, I've seen what's out there and super nerdy and I've seen what my clients need. And I'm going to grab and take what I need and leave the rest.
Yeah.
But the biomechanics stuff is we're certainly in that era of like, your arm's got to be on a 30 fucking degree arm path for this. And I've changed my tone on that. And even if Cass were sitting here, you know, I love Cass, he's mega smart.
Yeah.
Like I want to know all that stuff, not because I think it's massively important, but because I think how else am I going to know how to maximize, you know, a 30 minute workout if I don't know that training in a more lengthy position is better per set, let's say.
Yeah.
So I'm having fun with it, but if you look at my, which you, nobody listening to this should do, go back to my content from like, I don't know, March, maybe it was like November 2021.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see, I just got back. I just started taking the N1 courses. I just went to the practical. Every piece of content I put out was some crazy nerdy biomechanics shit. And it's just funny to go back and be like, yep, these were 3 months where I thought this was the most important shit in the world, you know?
It's my Eras tour, Taylor Swift.
That's it.
But you know what I like about that though? And I think because you become so passionate about it and you like you said, you nerd out on it, you do take the bits and pieces that you think would help the mom who has 20 minutes to exercise at her house, right? To maximize her efficiency with strength and muscle, right? Like that's something very much as a realistic takeaway, I think, right? And I think that's something you definitely can pull from, which you did, right? And I think that's the importance of it, right? Because obviously not everybody has like X amount of time to set up the machines in a certain path or anything like that and all that. Sometimes just like, I need to do this, and my kid is going to be ready for me in 5 minutes. So here we go, right?
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, that's perfect. But I love that though. And I think, I think we all go through like those passions or like those, whatever excites us in the industry at the time and like go balls deep into it. And then sort of step back and you're like, I'm good with this.
there's an example right now. Example for me right now is I'm working with a guy called his name. You know, I don't know. Jordan's worked with him. His name's Alex Fiata.
Yeah.
Like mega smart dude, wrote like the book on hybrid training, whatever.
Right.
And I was like, it's basically our first meeting. I was like, I want to be elite. I want to know everything there is to know, you know, I want to like take me back to school, you know?
Yeah. Pokemon master.
We went mega. What's up?
Pokemon master.
Yeah, exactly. I want to catch
them all.
So we started going super nerdy into every metric, everything from like wattage to very specific heart rates to like, tracking HRV to like everything that I could do. And with our workouts, it was like very specific, this pace, this heart rate range, this. And then more recently we've been doing what's called a fartlek session, which is like a Swedish word for run play, I think. And that actually is like such a good name for it. Speed play, actually, I think. And it's such a good name because the word play indicates a little bit more loose structure. Mm. And a fartlek is kind of like an auto-regulated interval in some ways where it's like you go by feel.
Yeah.
You just go out there. You don't need a watch. You don't need a chest strap. You kind of jog until you feel tired. Then you go a little slower until you feel recovered. And it's a little bit more complicated than that, but that's essentially what it is. And it's so funny because that's become my new obsession because sometimes it's nice to have all that data. It's nice to have all that, like buy the books, track your shit, progression. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes also nice to have more of like treating it like a playground session, like a play.
Yes.
So that's been really nice. Yeah.
That's you know, that's so true though, because it's I'm obviously you just described because you've gone through that, but I've definitely gone through phases where it's like you're dedicated to your program, like you're trying to progress from your dip from the week before, whether it's a rep, it's a extra 1.2 increase in your pound, whatever. And then you kind of go into a session where you're like, I don't want to fucking do any of that. And I just want to play around with some machines, maybe move my body differently and like sit in the sauna. Like it's like
on that's often what I will. So I work with people who, when they come to me, I'm sure you're familiar, but like, yeah, that sounded like I'm doing some unique thing here. But like when people come to me, they're looking for like, to like at least upgrade their results in some way, like either through efficiency or whatever. So I get them to track their workouts, and for many people, for the first time ever, and it's really great.
Yeah.
And they get all the benefits of that. They enjoy the continuity. They enjoy the visual, like being able to see the progression over time. And then they go away for like a vacation or something. Like, all right, I got the home gym, or I got the hotel gym. I'm going to stick to my program. And every single time, I'm like, no, we're going to take a playground day. Like when people go on vacation, we only do playground workouts. And and what I tell people to do is go in there and just like see what they have and be like, oh, that machine's cool. Let me sit down and do a couple hard sets. Oh, that machine's, maybe I want to do that. I want to do some, you know, I want to do some curls. I don't want to do Bulgarian split squats today. And so using those kind of out of routine workouts to just have a little fun, do what feels right, get a nice pump, like play with that cool new machine in the corner. Like, I just really like, people go on vacation, they're like, all right, I'm going to stick to my program. I'm like, the hell you are. Like, you're going to get an arm pump and hit Muscle Beach.
Yeah. It's so true though, because it's because just vice versa. You look at nutrition, like you wouldn't tell a client, "Hey, you want to track all your calories while you're, you know, in Bermuda, right?" You're just like, "No, like fucking enjoy it, enjoy the food, see what they have to offer, get back on track when you're home." Right? That's a great perspective for workouts, where it's like, just fuck around, find out, and get back on track when you get home. Right? I think that's a great insight. I like calling it a playground workout. That's a good one, Mr. Lips. I like that. In terms of like own personal stuff, right? How are you sort of transitioning, or I guess getting into more of a, because you have a baby coming in 6 weeks, right? Like how do you perceive, or I guess from things you pull from other people who might be dads already, who with all that, how do you perceive maybe your training changing, like going forward, and maybe your nutrition, or maybe it doesn't fucking matter because other things matter more now.
Yeah, I'm keeping my expectations super low. My own lifting right now is like 3 times a week, 35, 40 minutes. And so if I could keep that up, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But I would even be open to going to 2 days a week, 45 minutes, if that allowed me to fit in some cardio. I'm keeping it. Listen, man, if I'm first week that the baby's here, I don't do one fucking thing. Like, that's great. Yeah. I want to keep that door open because I don't want to shoot too high and feel disappointed. And so if I were to go to a bare minimum, I'd love to have 2 lifts and 2 cardio sessions with no expectation of progression, just a get it in sort of mentality.
Yeah.
And if I can do that, I know that for some people there that are like laughing at me, right, being like, yeah, right, you're going to do that. Like, okay. Like if that doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I'm keeping, I don't know what it's going to be like. Right. But I think if I can lower my bar of what a workout has to be, then I'll be more inclined to do it. And so even like something I posted yesterday in my story that I'm going to post, make an actual post about, is I think people, specifically my like moms at home or person at home, kids or just people with home gyms, what I think people don't realize is like, you could split up your workout into any different amount of like blocks in your day, and it's equally beneficial. Like yesterday I had 15 minutes before a call started, and I looked at my workout and I had like seated hamstring curls, and like I was like, first of all, those aren't like overly difficult, but I was like, I don't have anything to do for these 15 minutes. I wasn't going to work out till the afternoon, but I went in and I did my 3 sets of hamstring curls, and I was like, that's just a good, that fits my schedule right now, and it has no downside. It's not like doing them with the rest of my exercises makes those sets better in some way.
Yeah.
And frankly, if you were being like mega technical, which I would not be, you'd have an easier time arguing that splitting things up is probably more optimal. I wouldn't make that call, but I'd at least say that for people out there who are like, hey, I can do 20 minutes and then I got to pick up my kid. Yeah. I might have another 20 minutes later. Is it okay if I break it up? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing this a while back where I would do 3 exercises in a workout in like 20 minutes. And then after bringing my dogs in from their walk at the end of the night, after lifting or after eating dinner, take the dogs for a walk, come in, almost as like part of my routine, I'd like go out and like crank like lateral raises. I'd do my three sets in between like doing dishes. I hit a set of lateral raises, go do the dishes. Hit a set of lateral raises, like go make my like creatine for the morning or something. And like people were like, that's so weird. That makes no sense. That it has no downside. And so I just want people to know, like, if you have to break your work, if your baby starts crying and I'm going to have to go in the middle of my workout and I can do it later, like there's no downside in that at all.
Right. It's funny because I saw you doing that with your leg curls yesterday, I think it was. And I was just like, this guy's a savage.
I have so many DMs of people that are like, oh my God, is it okay if I do that? I always get interrupted by my kids. I'm like, yeah, it's totally fine.
Yeah.
What, do you throw a whole workout out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's true. I mean, something, I mean, we always preach this too, is like, it's always better to get it done rather than having it to be the most optimal thing, right? Or like having to get it all done in one sitting. But I think that's cool that you're applying it now and you have been applying it. I mean, it might take you a little while to do dishes if you're doing lateral raises in between every step.
Dishes get heavy, man.
But I do think that is a good point. I think that further cements a lot of sort of your approach to it is like, let's make this fit into my life rather than to force that fit, right? And so, I mean, for everybody out there listening, like you just said, like you can break up your workouts just fine and still maintain at least your muscle mass, which is incredibly important as we get older. I love that. Nice. And then in terms of like mindset stuff, right? Because I'm gonna pick your brain. I would love to have Kim's kids one day. It's on the chart, right? What are you, I guess, anticipating the most from like, are you feeling very Tarzan's dad? Like, are you feeling like I need to nurture this kid to be like the best person they could be? Like, what are you sort of feeling in that regard?
Yeah, a lot of people have asked me in Q&As and stuff. They're like, what are you nervous about? What are you scared about? And like, there's stuff on that list. Like there's an answer to that question, but like it's massively outweighed by the things I'm excited about. And so like, we're going to talk about it, but I just want to get this off my chest about like, I don't love having my focus be so much on those things I'm super worried about. I like focusing on things I'm worried about just enough to make sure I address them.
Sure.
But like sitting in that headspace of like, I'm nervous, I'm going to fuck her up with her relationship with fitness or relationship with food, or, you know, I got to make sure I read books to her as a kid. She grows up smart. And like, I don't, you know, I want to have those thoughts to make sure I address them and give them the credence that they deserve. But, I'm trying to think about like the positive things I'm going to do. And I think, you know, setting a good example is a cliche, but it is probably the bulk of what you can do, frankly, is setting that good example and acknowledging that, at least from what I've heard, I'm not a dad yet, but like kids are always watching, and even little things like being on my phone when the family is together and taking my kid with me to do things instead of, you know, X, Y, Z. And I just, it's not so much, I am worried about all that stuff. Like every parent is worried about how their kid is going to grow up. And when I say worried, I mean, that's something that they care about. But I just have, I don't know. I got really into, I took this over to the old therapy session where I'm like, I was in deep on that. And then I was like, you know what? Like, you're just like doing the classic anxiety of like playing out all these negative scenarios that like have not happened instead of like focusing on like the positive, what you can do. So I'm really trying to live in that headspace, but I think from a fitness and nutrition perspective, I feel very grateful that I'm having a kid at 33 than a kid at 23. For me, not that people can't do that, but I was very different at 23.
Yeah.
If I had a kid in my 20s, I don't know. I'm very proud of where I am in terms of my relationship with food, how I communicate it with myself, my body. And I just don't know if I would have been as equipped, because I just wouldn't have been the kind of person that I would be proud of my kid growing up to be at that time.
Yeah, I think you nailed that, because for someone who's fellow struggler of anticipatory anxiety, where you create these narratives that don't even exist, and you're like 3 years down the line, I relate to that wholeheartedly, and I think and I agree with that too, because of the because of the work you've put in for yourself, both mentally and physically, you're, like you said, you're just going to be a much better role model because you're a much better person now in your own terms and your own personal growth, right? Compared to that 23-year-old kid who, you know, was starting a gym and wasn't even sure if they want to live in that same town, right? Like, so it's, I think that the way you phrased it was great because it's, you know, like you're, it's just the right time for you. And it's the right time for you to lead by example in a way that resonates with you the most, right? So I think that that's a great thing. And a lucky child they will be as well, right? Because they're going to inherit a great father and a great personal home gym. Right.
That second part is definitely true.
Second part true. well, we're gonna wrap up in a wee bit. But my final question I have for people on this podcast, so just to give you some context, is name of this podcast is These Little Moments Podcast, because I actually went to one of Jordan's seminars back in like 2018 for his Inner Circle. And it was like at the end of his seminar, usually they have like this big emotional, like people are sort of getting things off their chest and being very vulnerable. And right. So I felt called at the time to sort of share for the first time. I don't know why I chose this time, but I just felt my intuition to share that I was struggling with anxiety, depression at the time. And it was during that time, and I was giving this little speech, I said, it's, you know, I don't give a fuck really about nutrition fitness, which tough for people here at this nutrition fitness seminar, right? But I was just like, I really just care about sort of like, you know, the little moments that we share with each other and you know, what we're doing to grow from that and you know, working ourselves. And so my question for you, and that was a big little moment in my life that sort of, you know, got the ball rolling for me with everything else. My question for you is what's like a little moment that stands out to you that you can look back at now and be like, fuck, thank God that happened, because that's exactly why I'm the person I am now.
It's a great question and love the context. And I'm trying to think if I should go a route. I mean, there's no should, you know, I could take it. There's one that pops into my head as like from a nutrition and from like a why I am the way I am in this industry. It's tough to like pull the business side out of me because it comes from a piece of me that really cares. Like you said, where it's like, I'm not so sure I care about like being mega jacked or like being mega fast, or I care about like you having a high quality of life and what good health can do for that.
Right.
And I guess I'll just go with the one that comes to mind first. And so at that gym that I grew up at, my mentor was really entrepreneurial. And I think I'm very grateful for that injection of you can do this, you know, if you work hard, like just really put me on that path to like opened up a lot of doors for myself and self-belief. But we were doing some fucked up shit at that gym. We were putting people on like 900 calories, encouraging people to have, we basically created people's binge restrict cycles of like 900 calories, 6 days a week, one cheat meal with a 2-hour window where you can eat whatever you want. You know, we would put everybody's weight loss up on a big wall. Everybody at the gym go up on this crazy big chalkboard. And I had one client who was one of my first clients, and we put her on the diet, and I was like, you know, whatever, texting her, and I was on top of her, and she lost like 90 pounds. And she stuck to it. She's like mega rigid, never ate off the diet, never went out to eat, just like total portrait of like what I thought was like a good client.
Right.
And then she gained it all back. And I like literally couldn't understand what had happened. Like, I just didn't know yet that I didn't understand what just happened.
Yeah.
And really, she went on to like not be a client afterwards. Like years had went by before I realized what happened. And I think about her all the time. And I just, you know, not to get emotional, but I think about it all the time where like, I owe for that. You know, I owe for I'm not like still here, like as a martyr of like, I still, you know, I'm still like digging myself out of bad things I've done, but like, I don't want to do that again. And I don't want people to fall into that cycle again. And that cycle is now just a proxy for like other BS that we're fighting. You know, it's not just like really low calorie meal plans with a cheat meal. It could be like, you know, going carnivore diet. It could be like, you know, doing 3-day water fast because you think that that's helpful. It could be like, yeah, you know, any other kind of BS slash thing you don't really need to be doing. I feel like I feel a fire in me still from that to fight against that stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I appreciate that vulnerability because I mean, it's true. Like, I think majority of us started this journey, like that meal plan route and like, you know, laying everything out for people, and probably wasn't the most sustainable or healthy way to go about anything. And I think that's a great, even though it comes from a place where it hurts, right? It's a great motivator for healing anybody you come in contact with now, right? And I think that's a beautiful way to sort of honor that person, right? Where it's like, hey, I might get emotional for you, but it's like, I think it's a beautiful way to honor that person, because it's you're saying, hey, I acknowledge, you know, that I let you down in some areas, and I'm going to do my absolute best to never let that happen to anyone else. And if you ever come in contact with anything like that, like, hopefully, you know, you guys link up and like, it's, and have that healing sesh. But I think that is a beautiful way to sort of look at that little moment that got you to the person you are now. But I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. And where can people find you?
Yeah, the old Instagram is a good spot. I still, I'm just there. If you want to shoot me a DM, I answer all the DMs. I'm just super grateful if you have a question. Like, I'm still, I bet you there's like an amount of following that you get to where you don't feel that way, but I'm still like super psyched if somebody wants to shoot me a DM and has a question. Like, I'm still like pumped up to answer that. Like, I'm not buried in DMs. Like, I'm still down to have a chat. And so if you have a question about anything, feel free to reach out.
So you heard him. Message the ass.
Message to this asshole that was on my butt.
Message the ass. Full circle. Jesus. Anyways, thank you, brother. I appreciate you, and great talk.
Good chat.
Later, brother. Thank you so much for listening to the episode of These Little Moments podcast. Special shout out to Mr. Jordan Lips. You can find his information in the show notes below. I appreciate your time, brother. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star review wherever you listen to the podcast. I would absolutely appreciate it. It would make him a day. Okay? It would make him a day. And if you'd like to work together, one-on-one, health and wellness coaching, you can apply for coaching at bodybrian.com/coaching. I love you, and I'll see you in the next episode. Peace out, guys.